Okay. Let's go for it.
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1. Welcome, dear listeners. This is episode 122 of the Devon Dice Podcast, recorded on the 24th of March, 2024. In this podcast, we're going to be doing the usual board game news and crowdfunders, plus what games we've been playing in the time between podcasts, which seems like a lifetime ago. But it's not. I've already released it today, the last one. Anyway, divergent. Hi, I'm your host, Joel, and joining me tonight, we have Nick.
Hello, folks.
And we've got Sam.
Howdy.
Trying to fix the website because we got hacked. Yay!
Shush. Don't tell them such things.
No, he's actually tinkering away with the website as we're talking now. So fixing a few little things that are going on. So, welcome back, guys. Hope you've enjoyed the break between podcasts.
Oh, I barely sat down. I've been so busy with work things and house things. Oh.
Yeah, the last podcast was a little bit late because I forgot I still had to edit it. And then when I did edit it, I tinkered around with it a bit too much because it was like, don't like this bit, putting this bit of it in. So, yeah, mainly my fault again. So, this you're probably going to have like podcast after podcast, a bit like buses.
Not buses in Plymouth, though.
No, not buses in Plymouth.
Just randomly don't turn up. Off the
top. Right, getting on to the news. So, just added in, the 24-hour board game marathon event that's happening in the 4th of August, I believe. 4th to the 5th. They have a new live stream host. Partially.
Uh-huh.
It's me.
Whee! Exciting.
So last year, JP from Whose Turn It Is podcast did the whole 24 hours live casting.
Wow. Wow. That is impressive.
It was. And when I went to the 12-hour one, I said to... Oh, what's his name now? Yeah. So the event organizer, Dan... I was talking to him at the 12-hour gaming event and said to him, look, I wouldn't mind doing like a, just hosting a game on the live stream at the next 24-hour. And I said, like, oh, he goes, oh, what do you have in mind? I said, oh, actually, I wouldn't mind like doing the classic Clank. And he was like, okay. He goes, yeah. He goes, I do need actually a host this year because JP is actually gone on holiday. At that time, so he can't be around to do it. I was like, all right. I said, but I don't really want to do all of it because I don't fancy doing all 24 hours of live streaming. He goes, no. He goes, after last year, neither does JP. JP. I was just like, no, I can see that because it looked like it nearly killed him. So then they did their live... ticket launch on the 7th of March, which was my birthday. And again, he put it out there saying he completely forgot about the conversation we had and said, we need a host to do the live streaming. So I was like, remember I said I'll do it? And he was like, oh, yes. So, yeah. Again, I'm not going to do all of it.
Yeah.
But probably do... Yeah, probably... I don't know, actually. We haven't discussed it, but... thinking of games we can play because it says it needs to be entertaining games that will keep people watching.
Yeah.
Instead of like a dry Euro where people are falling
asleep. What are you saying about dry Euros? Like, people can't watch them.
Brilliant. Brilliant if you like watching paint dry. So yes, I'll be doing that hopefully on the 4th to the 5th.
Very exciting.
Of August. Not August. It is August.
Yeah.
So...
get to use that fancy banner again.
Yes. Asmodee.
I'm up next. So, what did I put on here? Yes. So, Asmodee have announced that they're closing down the Ticket to Ride online play part of the Ticket to Ride app, which was, bizarrely, it was announced on their blog. Their blog is not what I would call a very well-formatted blog page, which is very bizarre. Just all plain text, really. But yeah, they say they're going to be closing down the online play mode for the Ticket to Ride app on the April the 3rd. It will still be playable offline against the AI and pass and play. We are assuming that it is either because they are revising the release, or it's too expensive to run the servers because of people have moved over to using Board Game Arena instead, because that's effectively free to play on there. You don't need to buy the app. So yeah, that is my guess, is that they're cost cutting, which Asmodee are having to do. So it came kind of a bit out of the blue, that announcement. So anyone who uses the app, make the most of playing online against other people around the world while you can. Otherwise, jump onto BGA and join us on there.
I think that's a problem. I've never used the app to play online. I've actually used it when we were on the plane and done, me and Claire done pass and play format, but never gone and tried it. I don't think I have.
I think I might have tried it once or twice, but
But yeah, but now it's on BGA. It's just like, just play it on this. So
yeah, the cost of running the servers must be quite high for. They're considering just dropping on their usage quite low, because you need at least a decent number of people using it to make it worthwhile anyway.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a one-off payment, isn't it? So once people have bought it, you're not going to get any more income in unless you release expansions and things like that. But again, people might not do it, or again, it's just a one-off payment. So is it enough to keep the servers going over that time? Probably not. So if there's another place, another platform,
that's what they're going to use.
Oh well. At least we can still play it. It's not like it's gone.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. So you can still play the app, just not with the online bit. And you can still play online on BGA if you want to.
And it's not a premium game, is it, Nick? I don't know, because I've got the premium account, so...
I'll have a look later. Ticket to Ride. It is premium. Both Ticket to Ride and Ticket to Ride Europe. But that just means that you can't start a game. You can still join games that are premium.
Yeah. You just need to know someone that's got a premium account, so...
Yeah, or you just join one of the open tables, which is what I tend to do.
So, Renegade Studios had their live stream event. So basically, like, they every year now they hold like an annual event to put out the new products they've got coming to the market. And one of the big ones, and one I'm considering, is HeroScape Age of Annihilation, the Master Set, plus two expansions, haven't listed them, is coming to retails in... Now, Meeple's Corner's got it for August. Don't know if that's how accurate that is. So, yeah, it's not a surprise. We actually heard about it a while ago that they were going to do it. Yep. What is a good surprise is that the price has come right down compared to...
Hasbro
tried to put it on their kind of crowdfunding site Pulse, and it was like $250 just to buy the one core set, and now they're releasing it for £90, I think it is, at Meeple's
Corner. Wow, that is a big jump.
Yeah.
Big jump down.
You can, and I don't know if they're going to release this in the UK, can buy a painted version for just over $200, I think it was. But hey, I'd rather paint it myself. And they're releasing two expansions to go with it. One is like a jungle scenery, and the other one's like a set with a couple more figures in it. So it's a bit like what they used to do with the HeroScape set when it first... release was have a couple of master sets, and then you could buy expansions which had more scenery and more figures you can add into it. So, yeah, see how well this goes and see whether it actually gets to the heights it did when it first came around.
Indeed. Exciting.
So, yeah. They also announced a couple of versions of Robo Rally. First one, 30-year anniversary of Robo Rally, which is interesting, plus the price.
What does it include? 8 pre-printed robots.
Yeah.
4 double-sided
which
game
it always, which it always did anyway, which only worth like 20 quid, which is
a metal priority token and dual layered player boards. I imagine they didn't have that originally.
No.
Which would be quite good.
But I think it's the cost that was like nearly, it's over £100 or something for this one. I think they've
got it.
They're
going to go with nostalgia. People who want it for nostalgia. Because it's quite an old game now.
The other one was Robo Rally Transformers Edition.
So, yes. this looks so
it cool. Looks quite cool, looks quite funky. Again, don't know if I get it. But people that are fans of Transformers, which might actually bring in another source of fandom,
indeed,
might get it. It works quite well. I think these actually do transform, I believe. Just trying to look at the pictures.
Oh, they've got all mechanics to do the transforming. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Possibly.
Assume it's thematic transform. You don't get the miniatures don't actually transform on the board, which would be awesome. if they did. They're missing a trick there if they haven't got.
yeah.
Well, they were the ones that says transformers can convert from bot mode to alt mode, whatever that is.
Yeah, I'm sure I wrote that. Read that.
But it's hard to tell because the images are fairly small and there aren't many of them.
They're fast.
Yeah, it looks like they're just standard miniatures on the board.
Yeah, but how much is that going to add to the time where you actually got to then sit there and like transform your robot?
Work out how to transform it.
I remember sitting there as a kid trying to figure out how my transformer went back as a car. And it's like, why is this piece not going back in? Ram this back in there, kind of thing.
That was the fun, though, wasn't it?
And then
you broke the arm off and you had to buy a new one. And that was clearly their marketing strategy.
When I was really little, I got presents from my parents for a couple of Transformers. And the next day, they took them back to the shop because there was a recall on them because they used leaded paint.
Oh no! Yeah. Oh.
And I didn't get the same thing back in return. I got books.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Oh, that's very disappointing, is it? As a kid.
Thanks.
They're not comparable.
Anyway.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Now I don't know about this one. Risk 2020-10 AD. It's got Rob Davio and Craig Van Nest.
Craig Van Ness.
Designing it. Now, I don't know if they were the original designers before, because as you all know, Rob Davio, or everyone.
He worked for
Hasbro and was the one that came up with the Risk Legacy element and ran away with it. I don't know if they're redesigning it anyway.
Yet another entry in the long series of Risk variants.
I think this is just a reprint of a game that's been out, a version of Risk that's been out of print for a long time. And I know it's quite popular. One of our old group loves 2210 AD instead of normal Risk.
Yeah,
this came out. Yeah, 2001 was the original one.
I mean, I remember playing this actually at the Exeter shop, Clifton Road Games. Someone said, "Oh, do you want to play this?" And I was like, "It's Risk. What do we play that for?" And they're like, "It was good." All right, then sit down. And I was like, actually, that's not too bad. I didn't mind that version. So it'd be interesting. You see how well this does if it is just a reprint or they've actually improved the rules or something like that. But
pretty cool.
And then Nexus Ops is getting a reprint as well from them.
Another oldie.
Never actually played this. Been told I should do.
Nor have I.
But this was Fantasy Flight before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But then it was also owned by Avalon Hill, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, sure. Never a reprint.
Glow in the dark pieces.
That's it.
They are pretty cool. I like those. That's perfect for when you're playing in really bad lighting places. You can see all the bits.
You can't lose any under the table, but
yeah,
amongst the yes, the flowery beer stained carpet on the pub floor.
Yeah. You should have that in more games, I think. Glow in the dark pieces.
Oh dear. So yeah, interesting. And then yeah, Sam commented on this. Acquire 60th anniversary edition being released. Again,
60th.
Reaching that's the heights of £100.
Yeah, but Acquire's had so many different versions over the years.
Yeah.
Do we need another version? I suppose 60th anniversary, if you haven't got it, then that's probably a good one, but... What's wrong with the 50th?
Not a bad game, is it?
I don't know.
Played
once. It's a good
twice.
Game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Considering it was designed in 1963, it's brilliant. Brilliant, because it's yeah one of the classic Sid Saxon designs,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like a modern game. Yeah, it's a good game, but yeah, I question whether we need yet another version of it. but if folks haven't got it, then yeah, fill your boots.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, Can't Stop is one of the most popular games still played, I reckon. So,
indeed, yeah.
I think if it's just out of print and not available, then I don't know. Isn't it? It's one I've not tried yet, and I feel like I should, just because it's a Sid Saxon game, and I've so far liked all of those I've tried, all two of them.
Yeah, it's very clever game. Quite dry, but I found it interesting.
So I'll just have to do emergency discharge of stuff on my laptop before I ran out of space. Got a warning come out going, you're running out of space.
Oh no.
So I had stuff in the bin that I could get rid of. Right. So yeah, I didn't realise he was still making these games, but Chris Handy's Pack of Games third set is coming out.
Yeah.
I think I definitely got the first set. I can't remember if I got the second set now. But they're good little games, and it's quite...
Yeah, they're quite cute.
Very, very clever how he condenses like a game into like a chewing gum stick kind of thing,
yep.
Or a pack of chewing gum sticks.
I'm most impressed that he's still coming up with names for games with only three letters in.
Well,
he must be running out by now.
I think he's stretching it, but... So we've got Bog, Far... IRK, that's the one I think he's stretching it at. Irk, yeah, Ick, no, Irk. Mad, Nut, Shy, Win, Yet. So.
It should be Yeti, but it's not. It hasn't got enough letters. Can't have that.
Is it about Yetis?
No,
it's not.
It's about airships. No, it's about airships stealing time within a clock from another dimension. Oh, that sounds interesting.
Nice.
I love that theme. How is he going to fit that into such a small number of cars?
Oh, it's got nothing to do with Renegade Studios as well, before people ask.
Yeah, like, yeah, we're beyond that bit.
We're beyond that. We moved on.
Way past.
So yeah, actually, this is not last lot he put on Kickstarter, and I wonder if these were on... I reckon these were on Kickstarter. I kind of recognise them, the pictures now. But apparently they're coming to... retail April 2024. So if you want some small packets games, like travel games, I mean these are travel games, then these are pretty nice little games to have. So yeah. Shards of Infinity, the Saga collection, coming to the shops very soon. So this is basically everything that's been brought out for Shards of Infinity, expansions, promo cards, everything. It's all now going to be in one big box that you can hold and contain, Actually, it's a pretty good little deck building game that I enjoy playing. I think I've still got it.
Never played it, but I've heard some good things about it.
I'm sure I've got it still. Maybe I haven't. I lose
track
now.
Lost
what
behind
I sell.
Some other games again.
Probably. So yeah, if you haven't played it like Nick, or have played it, enjoyed it, but you want everything for it, then you'll be able to get this box set coming very soon.
It's very cool.
Oh, it just reset on me. Right. I put this down under Nick because he loves this company.
Yeah. I like their production values and I like the game, the style they do. Yeah, this is Devir Games. The next three games that they've announced, which are coming out soon. The first one is called Sand, which is a pick-up and deliver game about transporting goods across the desert. That's about all we know about that for now. Looks cute, looks nice.
It's got some cute artwork to it, but I reckon it's going to be quite a...
I think it's going to be rather ironically dry for a desert game. So yeah, we'll see if there's some interesting mechanics in there for just pick up and deliver stuff. The second one, this is quite a unique one for them. I think this is España 1936, which is a historical simulation of the whole of the Spanish Civil War, which is kind of a bit of a left turn thematically compared to their other games. But yeah, that's good for them for branching out and things. Sounds like quite standard war game stuff with area movement, battle driven, card driven, bit of dice rolling, things like that. So that's one to look out for. It looks quite nice production again. And then the last one, which has been getting a lot of buzz recently, is Salton Sea. Not Salt and Sea, but Salton Sea. Where you are, I love the description here, extract brine and manage the most efficient geothermal company. Which, very vague kind of sounding words there. But this is a fairly heavy weight Euro game. It's got a weight of almost 4 out of 5 on BGG. And it's only got a runtime of 2 hours, which is not bad for a 4-player heavy Euro. It's set in California, close to the border of Mexico, and you are trying to generate geothermal energy and manage your production things. Kind of an industry manufacturing theme with worker placement. Sounds interesting. I've seen a few bits of playthroughs. I haven't managed to make it through a whole playthrough yet, because I think you really need to concentrate on what's going on, because there's a lot going on. But again, it's got some really nice artwork. I don't know how much artwork is on the components, but the cover is really, really pretty. I really like it. Some fairly nice wooden shaped pieces and things on your board.
Definitely. Sounds and Sea's already out at Meeple's Corner.
There we go. Yeah.
Which is quite nice. Very good price as well, I think, what you're getting in there, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
So under
£30. I think a lot of Devir games are well priced for what they are.
Yeah.
Doing well.
It's just a shame. I was expecting like a yellow tower or something like that game, like in their line of colours, named with colours.
Yeah.
Buildings with colours. Building with colours, not colours with colours.
Well, to be fair, there's no building in Salton Sea. It's probably half the problem.
Well, they called it Blue Sea or something, couldn't they?
I suppose. Okay, a bit.
Yeah, White Castle, Red Cathedral, Blue Sea. That'd be perfect.
Ironically,
yellow
it's not,
sand
it's not an actual
castle
sea, though,
was,
which is probably half the problem.
It's not really
either.
Sea, yeah.
You could have Yellow Sand Castle with the sand one.
Yes. Maybe they will be using that for another game in the future. Never know.
Maybe. It's
so, yeah,
be
that
expansion.
Was good list of them. Yes.
And the last one that I picked up is a new, Sam's going to love this, kind of social deduction game based in the Aliens kind of universe. Excuse me. made by Smirk and Dagger Games. And you are all on the same team trying to survive the alien that's trying to kill you. And I just thought, actually, from what I read of it, it sounds pretty fun. Sounds pretty good. Like, there's
it's a
little
party game. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, a deadly party game about being hunted by the alien life form on board. I mean, it's not actually based in the alien universe. It's kind of
a little variant. It's not officially based.
Not officially, yeah, but everything says alien.
Well, it says xenomorph in the description as well, so it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite specific.
But yes, what I like
none of the artwork or anything.
I think you've got a... It looks like there's a board in the centre, so it's your actual ship, and you actually, on your turn, you get two cards, a movement card and an action card, and you have to play both of them, but you can play them in each order, in any order, sorry, to take your turn.
Yep.
And just... Hopefully, not be in the same room as the alien is when it gets to the end of the round. So I thought, that's quite cool. It goes up to 10 players, so that might be a nice little game when you've got lots of people sat around.
So it, from what I can gather from the way it plays, you literally play a card and hope you're not in the room with the alien. And if you are, you die.
Yep.
Yes.
And then you start again.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, this is going to do nothing for my opinion of social deduction games.
Are you sure?
Oh, no, sorry. I do like it's going to reinforce my opinion of social deduction games. That sounds tragic. Why would you do it to yourself? Oh, no. Oh. I feel.
I mean, it depends what the actions are, really. I think it'd be.
It sounds like the actions
plays
are.
Plays up to 10.
I suppose, yeah. I suppose, yeah. It sounds like you might accidentally kill somebody. But it sounds like, again, it's very accidental as to whether it. It almost feels like a card game version of Room 25, in a way. Where you're sort of essentially programming your moves. You're either taking an action first or you're in a route moving to a room first or whatever. It almost feels like it's that mechanic of. Programming your moves and hoping everyone else sort of behaves themselves. Yeah. I'm sure you guys will have fun. Let me put it like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be at Devon Dice Con.
Yep.
I'm doing my hair.
actually, I lie. There's still more news. It was just on another page. Mass Effect, the board game, is coming soon. I don't know if it's coming to crowdfunding or just to retail.
Now you're talking, Joel.
But it's a cooperative story-driven game from the designers of Calvin Wong, Taze Loon, Eric M. Lang. Now Eric M. Lang got me. I was like, ooh.
Eric Lang. Yep.
So it sounds interesting. It's set after the Mass Effect 3 video game story. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they're going with that.
Yeah, I'll be intrigued as to how. I mean, it's kind of got a. They've got Eric Lang, obviously, to kind of round out, I think, as the design, and then these other guys presumably are kind of invested from the Mass Effect side. But it seems like the crux of it is to sort of take the style of game it is and simplify it a little bit. To make it appeal more to mass market a little bit, so I'll be intrigued to see just how good it is from a board gaming community perspective. Mm. Whether it's just a bit of a not a cash in, but like a soft intro to board gaming for video gamers, the fans of the series or something.
Yeah.
Well, it says it's got a branching narrative campaign.
Yeah, that's the bit that's kind of most interesting to me.
Which sounds interesting with a car-driven AI that evolves. Based on your actions, which I'm really interested in that.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, the strength of Mass Effect is obviously the actions you take in the game, kind of define how the story plays out, and I think that one of the things they must make sure they do in this board game is to make sure that also happens, that the choices you make and the dialogue choices you make and so on lead to a satisfying conclusion from a narrative point of view. So as long as they do that, I'm sure it'll be fine.
And a quick playtime as well, 45 to 60 minutes per session, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, further evidence that they are aiming at a video game audience because the lack of attention that they can possibly have probably means they need to make it target a little bit.
Indeed.
But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. So.
Hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see it.
And it's been ages since we've had anything Mass Effect related, so it's. I think it's also maybe a way of them sort of gauging to some degree what the what's the interest in the IP right now.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna they're intending to make Mass Effect. They're calling it Mass Effect 4 as if they're sort of pretending that Andromeda didn't exist. But they EA are making a lot of redundancies and stuff at the moment, and Mass Effect is kind of one of those projects that they're like, should we bother carrying on with this one? So maybe part of this is to sort of see what sort of interest can we drum up with this. I mean, they're obviously going to make it anyway, but it feels like they might use it as a gauge to see whether it's worth carrying on with the Mass Effect project or not as a whole.
Yeah, possibly. And did you put this in? No, who put this in? Did you put this in, Nick?
I put this in, but Sam posted it on the Discord.
Oh, did he?
So NASA have released an RPG. I mean, that's literally the only news that's worth mentioning about this, because it is pretty crummy sounding. But it was interesting that NASA have kind of done a big launch about it and sort of made a big deal about releasing an RPG. So, you know.
Is it something they use within NASA as a training thing, or is it just they've decided to... they think, make use of...
It's interesting. I mean, it's the story just sounds a bit stupid. So it's like they're weirdly mashing together kind of fantasy wizardy world with real life now, with the Hubble Space Telescope has disappeared and some weird... I don't even know how it works. I'm not even going to bother downloading it, so my brain can't possibly.
Well, the picture has got a picture of the Hubble Space Telescope surrounded by a dragon, that kind of gives you the idea.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes it really bizarre is, I think it would have been a really interesting idea if they built an RPG. Like, cause they don't need to build an RPG; they just take 5th edition rules or something, and then they could make something based on NASA missions or something, would have been really interesting.
But
they've decided to do this weird kind of, fantasy mashup sort of arrangement, which is really odd. I think actually making a 5th edition version of a story in NASA mission lore, like is For All Mankind on Apple TV style, go back to the 50s and 60s and kind of do an RPG of the space program and stuff like that. I think that would be quite cool. But yeah, I don't know. This feels like a weird little promo thing that the Office of Communications at NASA have decided would be fun to release. I think they've been ridiculed a little bit.
It's got a bit in brackets in the description saying, while also using and learning science skills! Exclamation mark. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't need to put that in.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a fascinating idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing to see think where it's coming from or what they're planning with it or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. Right, on to crowdfunding, and the list is probably just as long as the news, because now everything
it's slightly less.
Everything seems to be.
I know we're going to skip over some
crowdfunding.
Yeah.
Dying Light, the board game from Glass Cannon, works. They've actually doing a lot of video game conversions to board games, and this is their next hit because it is doing very well. It is very heavily based on the video game where your survivors basically escaping the zombie hordes. And it's got the same thing that goes on in the video game where you're parkouring across the landscape, avoiding being eaten. I haven't really played the video game myself. I've seen it in action. But what I can see and what I've been told is very much very good, very close. But again, it's like, why are you not loading? It's miniature heavy. It's got a ton of expansions. If you want all in, Kickstarter's not loading up for me, so I'm just going from memory.
Well, it has actually finished already.
Has it?
The 20th of March. So you can follow along to see how they're doing, but it doesn't look like they're doing late pledging just yet.
Right.
So back it quick, folks.
No, but most likely... Stop it, Sam. Oh, it's not loading up at all. Right, I don't know what's going on with that. The next one I backed, because it's to do with my painting, I've actually backed their last project, or one of their projects before, to get a wet palette, it's called, for miniature painting. This one's still on, 10 days ago, so now you've got this, they brought out a all-encompassing kind of wet palette and tray and phone holder, so you can either watch YouTube or like look at the images you're painting and try and get some ideas. It looks very good, very everything like I wish the last tray did, this one is now doing, kind of thing. And it is very good make, and they do put a lot of design and research behind their stuff. And you can also now purchase a dedicated lighting system for miniature painting, which can fold out and illuminate your projects to the best. I don't know if I've got enough money to stretch to the light. we'll see. But I'm definitely getting one of the paint palette, because, as I said, it's everything really nice. I wish. Yeah. Mm. And if you've got a really favourite painter, like streaming painter or something like that you follow, then you might be able to get one with their logo on it for an extra $5 on top of a standard one. So you've got Turbo Dork, Ninjon, and Creature Caster. So,
amazing. Yeah.
Mm. So yeah, if you like hobby painting, want a wet palette tray. I mean, some people say, I just make my own because it's just simple and it's cheap. Hey, whatever you want. I just want the easy life.
Exactly.
Inventors of South Tigris. This is Garfield. No, was it?
It's not the Garfield games. Yep.
Yeah. Just everything's taking so long to load up. 3 days ago on this, so by the time I get this out, might be finished, knowing my track record. So, but yeah, people are raving about the last one they did in this series.
Scholars, was it, I think?
Scholars of the Tigris or something like that.
Oh yeah, I think it's Scholars of the Last South Tigris. Yeah, this one, you're inventing things, you're inventors, creating inventions. Using, I think it's like resource and dice placement things, if I remember correctly. Yeah, looks like a very nice, as usual, Garfield Games game. Nice little stuff in the box.
I think, my opinion when I saw it appear on our crowdfunding list was not to even bother clicking on it, because it was like, another Garfield Games Kickstarter game. I know exactly what to expect from it. I think it'll be a fantastically popular sort of medium to maybe heavyweight Euro game, which looks great, but like we said before, it feels like they're just treading the same steps a little bit to me now, where it's everything looks the same, everything feels the same. You know, the art, looking at it, and I was quickly looking, card artwork is exactly how I'd expect to see it. Feel like they ought to. I think half the appeal is the fact that they've got the Miko still as the main artist for all of his games, which is great, because it's sort of, you know, it's iconic, I suppose, to some degree. But I'd like to see them maybe use a different artist for the different series of the games now. Maybe they ought to think about changing it to freshen it up. You know, nothing to stop it. You know, if they carry on with the South Tigris thing and they do a new one, right, great, get them. But it feels like it's a good way of kind of freshening up their offering while keeping the same, you know, overall design ethic.
I think that's why I'm not that bothered with it, because it's just like, it looks the same, it probably feels and by what you read it plays the same, but it probably doesn't, because like the fans will probably say, oh no, it plays all differently. And it's like, no, then why don't they just change it a bit? Like, get, as you said, a different artist in. Recreate themselves for a new series. But nothing against them. Think they do a great job with what they do. But, yeah, I think it needs a little bit more life given into the next series, like Sam says.
But they're doing well on it. Already £250,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's, let's face it, it will be super popular. So it's not going to be a problem. They don't need my money.
Fox Experiment Deluxe Wooden Edition is now on GameFound. This has started two arguments on the GameFound website.
At least two. A few days. Might be more.
One is the fact there's like previous backers and that of like, was it on Kickstarter? That have only just got their copy through and they got the deluxe version, which is it all plastic, Sam?
So the deluxe one's kind of like all acrylic tokens. So you've got acrylic fox tokens, acrylic kind of resources.
Right, so that's like the biggest argument. And so these backers that previously backed the original core game got acrylic tokens through, but now they re-released it on GameFound and now you're using wooden tokens. And they're also doing the 5-6 player expansion, which will come with wooden tokens, which won't match your acrylic tokens.
Yeah, so if you've got deluxe edition like me, but you don't have the 5-6 player edition, you now can't get the 5-6 player edition expansion without without getting a Kickstarter backer to basically sell you theirs, which is never going to happen unless you buy the whole damn package again. So it's a bit frustrating, I would say. I mean, for me, it's not a big deal. I don't think it's the kind of game I'd want to play with 5 or 6 anyway. But you know,
oh, really,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think it would play fine because actually, once everyone knows, it's actually really quick to play. There's no reason why you couldn't. But you talk, you know, if you're playing with 6 players, that means you can have 7 male foxes, 7 female foxes to pick from, and you've also got 5 or 6 people to try and come up with names for their foxes, which will take twice as long as playing the game will. That got no laughs. That was unexpected.
Sorry, I'll put that in later. I'll mix it in.
Put, I was going to say put some comedy canned laughter in from an 80s.
Oh, there must be a sound effect in Discord for it. Let's
have it. Oh, I've been meaning to upload that. I've got loads of sound effects I need to upload to Discord. Oh, so much to do. Anyway,
oh no, here we go.
Yeah, it's probably more like it. What I do find, actually, going back to the Fox Experiment, though, what I do find interesting is that it's not setting the world alight on GameFound.
No.
It's short of its target, and I've got a feeling it will... I mean, it may well make it, but it's not going to make it by a great deal. So I don't think it's going to be a... It's not a popular project as a result.
Yeah, I think it's... Because it's come out so soon after the other ones... Yeah. I'm not really surprised. It does seem slightly odd to bring it out quite so soon. But yeah, they're at just under 80% of their goal at the moment, which 12 days
and bearing in mind, the original Kickstarter made just shy of $700,000. I mean, there's two answers, I guess. One is that actually the vast majority of the people that wanted the game got it at that point, or at least wanted a deluxe edition or whatever. Because, in fact, let me have a quick look. Because it's probably got the stats about how many backed each one, right? So the retail edition, 144 people got the retail edition. The Kickstarter edition, 3,201. So by making the wooden edition...
there we are.
By making the wooden edition, all they've really done is appeal to the 144 who got the crappy... Not crappy, but the basic edition.
The basic one.
So actually, it just feels like a total own goal from a... production point of view. Why would you make a third version of the game, which is an effectively inferior to the plastic version, the Kickstarter edition, and only slightly an improvement on the retail edition, but more expensive? It's just a bizarre choice. So I think this is proving it, that people just don't really want it.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, indeed. like for me, I actually just recently bought the retail version, to try it and see what all the fuss was about, and then this hit Game Found, which then is like, oh, so now I can get the fifth, sixth player expansion and the promo cards I missed out on, for pretty much the same price. So now I'm in considering, if we really do like the Fox Experiment, I will sell my retail edition, and back this to get the full lot for it and get wooden components, which doesn't bother me.
Joel. Oh, there he is.
You're dropping in and out a bit, Joel.
Yeah,
Oh, did I?
Yeah. But if you want to do that, you're talking about $100 if you want to get the base game with this 5-6 player expansion again. So that's a lot of money, isn't it? Just, you know, I mean,
you must really want it, especially if you want to think you're going to play it with five.
Yeah, and I'd say the retail edition
I definitely will play
fine.
It with five.
Right.
I probably will play it with five. And as I said, I don't know if this 5-6 player expansion will hit retail.
The other thing you can do, of course, actually for yours, would be to get the 5-6 player expansion and the wood upgrade kit, which is half that price, to be fair. So $49.95 to get the upgrades, and not so you don't have to replace your base game.
Yeah, it's just then it's also then the promos, because I don't know if you get the promo cards.
You don't need promos.
This is Joel.
Everything, Sam.
He needs the promos.
The FOMO's kicking in here. I need it all.
Promos are crappy. You don't need promos. But it would be. I bet you it's something that they put in the ad as an add-on or something. That, you know, when you get to that stage, I bet you they say you can have the add-ons for like $10 or something.
I'm pretty sure when I did do my pledge, I've already done it. There wasn't the option to add the promos in, because it usually says do add-ons kind of thing.
Fair enough.
See quickly, but yeah, it's one of those things. It's just like, oh, I get all this, I sell mine, I lose like, I don't know, 10-15 pounds on mine, but then I get everything else back once it gets delivered. So
yeah,
it's one of those. Anyway, diverging. The other thing that's kicking up fuss is all now the anti-hunting protesters are all joining into the fight of saying this was cruel and mean to the foxes, and it shouldn't be allowed as a board game. So I was basically saying about the comments coming in from the, I don't know, anti-hunting, anti-cruelty to animals protesters, saying that this game shouldn't be made because it's bad history. And anything that's on bad history shouldn't be not acknowledged.
It is slightly odd for someone to comment on a crowdfunder for a third printing of a game that already exists, saying that they disagree with it. I don't know why they would bother going to it to say that. What are they going to dissuade that many people from backing it? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure they've got legitimate concerns, because I don't know the details of the real setting.
But I don't. I mean, you've got to think it's back in the 50s. It was in Russia, so yes, it probably wasn't the best of conditions. It was also a scientific experiment.
It's gone.
And yeah, that's never a good thing for animals. But at the end of the day, you're playing a board game. You're not acting out. Anyway, so yeah, I was just basically saying it was like people kicking off. I forgot what I even got with it now.
Yeah, so the anti-fox hunt lot basically decided to have a bit of a evangelical moment on the comment section, which is kind of bizarre. Because in theory, in order to comment, they have to back it, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, as I was getting to, I was like saying, like, yeah, it all happened, and this game is kind of, it's based on it. When you're playing it, you don't feel like you're doing those experiments. You're just basically making baby puppies, and then you're naming them, and it's just fun. It's cute. It feels cutesy like that in a way. It feels, I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong.
Yeah, I think it's more the reality of what the experiment was like, and I guess it has kind of occurred when we've played it where you breed some new cubs and then they become the parents and then they get discarded, and people that I've played with have sort of gone, so what happens to the foxes? And you go, oh, well, they're just, you know, they're off to play in the snow.
Yeah. They're outside enjoying their lives for the rest of the eternity. Yeah.
They've not been shot and chucked in the Siberian wasteland, I'm sure. You know, but yeah, it's, I'm sure it wasn't all, you know, pleasant, and I suspect there was an awful lot of like caged animal situation and whatnot, but I must actually, I have to read the rule book and see if there's any kind of coverage of that in there, because I remember it being something that someone commented saying it was covered during the previous campaign and things in terms of the mentioning of things, but it's a bizarre sort of, it's not a bizarre hill to die on, but it just seems incongruous in within the context of a Kickstarter or GameFound project. In the comments section.
And last one is Sam wants a rant about Shogun, the revised edition from Queen Games.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been waiting for Shogun. I mean, Shogun's like a, what, 20-year-old game now? Maybe a bit more than 20 years? I can't remember now. Exactly.
About that.
It's a game that was based on... what was the game it was based on, Nick? You'll know which one it was based on. Wallenstein.
I don't know. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Wallenstein. So it's essentially, it's an area control type style game, but the novel mechanic being that you have this kind of cube tower. I mean, I think it was the first... Wallenstein was the first time this cube tower for outcome of battle became a thing. I played... Shogun basically reworked it into feudal Japan era, and thematically it works perfectly, but it's a 2000, yeah, I've just looked, it's 2006. Wallenstein was 2002, so it's essentially it's a over 20 year old game now. Queen Games have published it since day one. I say since day one, they've published it like once. Essentially, it's got a second edition, and now there's a new edition coming. And they've never changed the artwork for it. It still looks like it was made in the 90s. Effectively, I just don't. It doesn't compute to me that Queen. I mean, I know that Queen kind of don't really do it anyway, but they don't really deluxify. But in the age of deluxified versions of games going absolute mental on funding sites and things, you know, looking at Castles of Burgundy is a classic example of that. Why have they not taken the opportunity to actually modernise the graphics and the presentation, especially given the release of Shogun on TV, which has been very, very popular and very well received, given the rabid interest in Japanese culture? They could have done something so much more interesting, and they're still charging a lot for it, so it's not like they were trying to get it below a price point to keep costs down and make it appealing. They've kept it at a fairly high price point, especially when you consider shipping is almost the same price of the game again. It's just it doesn't compute. I've been waiting for this game to hopefully get a revised edition to make it just look nicer. And they haven't. They've just gone, hey, I'll just release the same thing again then. Okay, fantastic. So, yeah. It's disappointing. Weird. It's just disappointing for me. That's all. But it's a fantastic game. You know, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I've played of it, I really enjoyed it, and I don't really like those kind of area control sort of style games too much. But this one worked brilliantly, and the cube tower is really fun for like the outcomes. Sometimes the peasants do win when they revolt against their lords, and it's amazing. Yeah, it's really good. Just disappointing.
Love it.
Right, we're going to move on and do a game that we played. Cool. I'm going to start off with Gen 7. So I'm playing for the campaign of that, and it's it might not last full entirety at this rate.
Oh.
So So the last game we played, we were playing Game 3, and it...
Has he gone again?
Oh, he's gone again.
Oh.
Have I gone again? yeah, I played Game 3 with the same people, and it just feels like you're being kicked in the balls every single turn. And the last game just was not fun. It was painful. I mean, it's meant to be, I think that they're trying to get that intensity in, because it is basically your ship is like pretty much crippled, and it's you're like your last hope of getting it to its destination.
Yeah.
But there's ways of doing it that can make it fun or make it enjoyable, not fun, but enjoyable, and it doesn't feel like it. It keeps putting this element of people think you're doing stuff to screw them over when you've got like these personal objectives and you're not a team player, and it's like, but if I don't do this, then it doesn't help me, and I need to do this because it's to do with this kind of thing, and it's like, oh, and yeah, it's just too many curveballs, and the organisation of the rules is terrible. You get rules added in, but they're in cards, so then they can get the next game out, and you're putting them all out, and it's like, do we still use this rule? It doesn't actually say. Okay, it stays in. It didn't say to take it out or not, so we keep it in. But then it's just making it even more harder. And in the fact that what's bothering me a lot is it's meant to play over 7 games, and I don't even think we've touched 5% of the contents in the box so far. And we're in game 3. And I'm just like,
crazy.
There's like 20 envelopes and a whole stack of cards to get through. And I'm just like, I don't think we're even going to see half of this content, which is going to be even more depressing, because then it's like, well, you should play the game again. I was like, I don't want to play it. I don't want to play it now. Because it's not fun.
Yeah.
So I think the consensus is we're going to try game 4. And if it still feels like more of a undertaking, like more work than playing a game, then I think we're going to be calling it. There was rumours, whispers going on after the last one that it was going to be ditched in a muddy puddle somewhere. and so, yeah, it's disappointing. And I think this is it was their second
difficult second
game,
album.
So
yeah,
that's it. And they were trying new stuff.
Yeah, that's why they've pivoted to Forbidden Waters format, I think, wasn't it? Because they sort of went with the Crossroads mechanic is the popular bit of it, but trying to do another deep narrative style type one is just too hard. Because it also came around, it was around the same sort of time as like Time Stories was starting to get its kind of struggle period and things, so maybe it was all around the same time where it felt like everyone wanted those kind of deep narrative RPG-ish kind of style experiences, but it was really, really, it's really hard to make that a cohesive experience.
It is, and when you've got rules coming in and left, right, and centre, it's difficult to put that. I know it's going to be difficult to put it in place, especially when it's not a legacy game, because it doesn't. It's not a fixed change. You can reset it all and then redo it again, and I think that's what they are aiming at. But when it's not legacy, then you've got to try and get rules in without changing the rule book. And so then it's on cards. But it's like I said, it's like, I've got 10 cards to put out with rules on it, and it's like, does this stay in? Do we still keep this? Are we still doing this? I don't know. Look it on BGA. Doesn't say. Not BGA, BGG. Just doesn't say on there. It's like, all right, we'll keep with it kind of thing. And then it was just like, this hurts. So,
yeah, it's not got very good ratings on Board Game Geek as well. A lot of them are quite similar to you. They're very kind of around the 5-6 mark. A lot of people saying they've tried to persevere, or they've given up halfway through, or things like that.
Did you get it when it was like £7 from whichever website it was
that sold? Okay, I got it for like, I think it was like £13 from Meeple's Corner.
I think I got mine for like £7, and it's still in shrink. It might well stay in it.
It's probably the best place for it. And then I got the expansion because there was 5 of us. I think I paid like, again, £15 for that.
Bummer.
So yeah, I really think it needs, it could do, I think it could be such a great game if it was redone. Maybe they consider it.
Yeah.
But, and just put the expansion in it.
A lot of reviews are suggesting that.
Yeah, just put the expansion in it. Don't stick with the, yeah. So, but anyway, so yeah, one more game and we'll see. And if it doesn't change after game 4 and really suck us in, then I think that's it. I'm done. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on then, Nick.
Right, so I played, which one I'll do, the first one. So I played Glenmore Chronicles, or Glenmore 2 Chronicles, which is from 2019. Played it with the group on Monday night. 3 of us got to play this, and we had a really good time playing it. I did work on the solo mode for this, but this was playing it multiplayer, so I got to properly play it multiplayer, probably for the first time playing it more than 2. And it worked really beautifully. Yeah, so this is a re-implementation of the original Glenmore from Tyus Kramer. And this was the beautiful Funtails production version. Really, really nice pieces, really thick tiles, some nice screen printed or stickered meeples. And it is a game in which you are, it has a time track around which you are jumping to select a tile to build into your Scottish clan area. And you have positioning where you have to place it next to one of your, or adjacent to one of your meeple. And then you get to activate all the tiles around it, and you're gaining resources and then triggering, exchanging those to do other things, like get points, working your way through a separate kind of clan board to trigger some bonuses, basically trying to get the most points at the end of the game. It's a really good example of how to do a time track really well. Always interesting decisions. It's got a very nice pace to it. You have, it's kind of four eras, and then you do an intermediate scoring in the middle of every era, at the end of every era. So you see your progression as you go through the game, but you can catch up or drop behind other people mid-game, depending on what you do. And then you can't be too greedy in making your estate too large, because at the end of the game, whoever has the least tiles, everyone else will lose points for how many extra tiles they have beyond that person's number of tiles. So it's also a game of efficiency, and that's just the base for the base play. The Chronicles part is it comes with, in the base game, it comes with eight modules that you can add in. You wouldn't add all of them at once, but you'd add one, maybe two, which just vary the gameplay up nicely. And we just play the vanilla version, the base one, which was great. But you have a lot of other modules you can add in, which give quite a significant change to the feel and the mechanics, actually. Some of them, and then there is an expansion which I have, the Highland Games, which adds another 8 modules, so huge amount of replayability for it, and just a really fun game. Either of you played this one?
No.
Or the original?
No. I've got nothing more to add. Sorry.
If you haven't played it, you can't comment. Yeah, but it's a really good medium weight euro with some very nice production. So it's well worth seeking out if you like that kind of game.
Awesome.
Sam, what have you been playing?
For mine, I finally got to try Kabanga, which Joel very kindly picked up for me in Essen last year, and I got to play it a couple weeks ago and again this last week. So the first one was 4 of us, and then this week we played it with full complement of 6, and yeah, it's really good fun. It's that perfect light Amigo small card game, which just works really good. The only thing complaint I'd have is that you need to make sure the people you're playing with buy into the whole Kabanga element of it, and shout Kabanga when they chuck cards at the person who's just played, because otherwise,
oh, you have to.
Yeah,
do
otherwise it sort of loses something, because we were getting a couple of people who were playing, and they're just like, oh yeah, there you go. Just like, no, you've got to shout Kabanga. It's part of the fun. Yeah, so me and a couple others are like, Kabanga! And chucking them around, and it's much more fun when you do that. So
yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it needs that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you need the performance element. But yeah, it works really, it's super clever, in terms of the simplicity of just a deck of cards with a bunch of numbers and building a fun little social game around it, really, really good. Yeah,
I love it. I'm so glad you pointed this out to me and I picked up a copy, because it is one of our most played game that I picked up from Essen. So,
wow, yeah.
And yeah, I brought it out with even the in-laws, and they don't play games. And when they were living with us, it's like Claire's idea. It said play a game. We'll play that Kabanga, and they all got it. They enjoyed it. So, it works with anyone.
There you go.
I think it can be related very loosely to Uno, because it
it has that
I
kind of
rule
a feel.
And say right when you're down to the last card, you got to shout Uno. Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad he got to play it finally. Right, we're going to close up this podcast and thank everyone for listening this far and putting up with all the technical hitches, because this is going to be a fun time editing it. If you enjoyed the episode, let us know. You can send us comments via any means of our social media contacts that you can find down into the show notes. You can join our Discord channel and get lively conversations with us and see snippets of stuff that might be coming up in later podcasts and things like that. So yeah, come along to the Discord channel and join in with the conversations. Again, if anything we discussed on the show can be found in the show notes, all the links are there, thanks to Nick. And guys, time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, all.
Goodbye for me.
Credit roll.
Right. 3, 2, ready?
Oh, we go. Oh, shit.
Oh, for stopping
the call.
He's right on it.
Okay, ready.
3, 2, 1. And I'm pretty sure that the same people that made about making Prison Architect the board game. So, yeah.
Oh, he's dropped
again.
Yeah. Well, again. Have I gone out again? Have I?
Yeah, you keep going in and out.
Oh, I wonder why I didn't get any reaction to that last comment.
Now I know why my joke didn't land.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
And yeah, that's never
just
good
laptop
thing for animals.
No,
but at the end of the day, you're playing a board game. You're not acting out. Have I gone again?
I think what you ought to do is just carry on, Joel. And then we'll try and pick it up afterwards.
Yes.
I don't know why it's dropping out so badly. Maybe it's because I am running out of space.
It does feel like it's almost like a notification's kicking off and then cutting you out for a few seconds and then cutting you back in again. Or something weird like that.
Yeah.
I've got like 50 gig left or something like that. So I don't know why it's doing that.
It must be your internet then. Something odd.
Maybe. Shit. Forgot his name. We had him on the show. That's really bad, isn't it? It's really gone out of my head. Can't go through this until I thought of it. What is his name?
I'm going to guess it's Dan or Ben or.
It's Dan. Dan. Yeah. So the event organizer, Dan. D-click.
Yeah, I've got D-click and low pass filter on at the moment.
Oh, you've got all that on. Oh, blimey. I can still hear it then. Because I'm sat there listening to like Nick talking away, and I'm like, what is that clicking in the background? Oh, it's Sam. Yeah. Right.
I think the site's been hacked somewhere along the line.
Ooh, it's exciting.
Are we that popular?
They were that really? Popular, we got hacked.
I hate to disappoint you, but it would be a robotic hack thing that just looks for a vulnerability in WordPress, so I've just got to find where the friggin' hell it came
from.
Yeah,
it's gone completely screwed, isn't it?
Does the website look screwed as well?
Yeah.
Oh, goody. Oh,
well, yeah, the front page is just...
Complete. Oh, that's funny, because I've changed the theme. That's all.
Weird thing. But the thing, the menus are right. They've got the thing. It's just the change.
Yeah,
thing.
It's because if I reactivate that, it should look right now. But it's somewhere there's a something's got in and made things monkeyed.
There we go. Yeah.
I'm just gonna find where. That's oh awesome. God, I hate dealing with this shit. This is the
folks are listening. Word. This is live debugging of the website.
I've not recording yet, so
I am.
Joel is.
Right, okay. I'm recording now. Oh god, yeah. Where the fudge? It's difficult to know where this is coming from. It's